Welcome to Hey Ghost Hey, the podcast about ghosts, ghost hunting, and other paranormal phenomena of the Pacific Northwest. I am your host, Charles Crooks, owner, tour guide, and psychic of Bellingham Ghost Tours. We are here because I like ghosts a lot. Now let's begin. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Hey Ghost Hey. I hope you are finding some time for yourself to stay grounded this holiday season. We've had crazy weather up here in the Pacific Northwest with several atmospheric rivers passing through recently, which included flooding many of the rivers around here. And so it is definitely made for some spooky times though with all the rain and the wind. But, of course, it has also left many with property damage and belongings destroyed. And so, if you want to find out how you can help or even just provide resources to those around you, I will be including a link in the episode description for Whatcom County resources for flood victims. So, jumping right in to today's episode, we are going to focus on one of my absolute favorite locations in the Bellingham area, and that is Lake Whatcom. When it comes to being a lake in the Pacific Northwest, there is nothing really special about it, but I feel the energy of that area is something special. To me, it feels like a gateway into the wilder foothills of the North Cascades that extend out into the Mount Baker Wilderness. So my history with the lake begins when I was a kid in my many, many visits to Bellingham. My mom's aunt and her family had a home out in Delesta Park on the north side of the lake. I have many memories of going to swim there or going out for large family events. It wasn't until I moved to Bellingham in 2009 when I really got acquainted with the lake. I immediately fell in love with the Hertz Trail along the water, followed by the Chanterelle Trail for elevation and higher views. It also has consistently been my swimming spot as an adult, and I'm very lucky to live only a mile from its shores. In fact, if you've listened to season one, you have already heard my story about reaching out to the lake and trying to find a home. And I believe that is in the episode called Psychic Stories. For the history of the lake, I am going to be sharing parts of the review for the book Lake Whatcom, A History by H. Leon Green, which can be found locally at Village Books and Barnes & Noble. The review is written by April Markovich, I'm guessing. I am going to give a little bit more history than normal for this one, as this is such a wide area, but also includes famous names throughout Bellingham history. So here we go right into her review. The beginning sections of the book provide an overview of the lake's geology, which was formed by glaciers, early Native American presence, which was primarily along the western side to south side of the lake, the influx of settlers into the area, and background on the formation of what was eventually to become the city of Bellingham. And just to deviate from the review for a quick second, but one of my favorite facts from the book about our early connections to the lake was that if you wanted to go to the lake from downtown Bellingham, because the infrastructure was so poor, it would take anywhere from 12 to 24 hours to make that journey, which I think is pretty wild. So back to the review we go. Special attention is devoted to describing the efforts of several of the early settlers who left an indelible mark on our community, including J.J. Donovan, who began his career in railroads, coming to Fairhaven in 1888 and soon branched into coal mining and logging. He formed partnerships with other early settlers of note, including J.H. Bladell and P. Larson. Donovan was also active in many other civic activities and was renowned for his kindness, generosity, and devotion to the community. He is credited with promoting the development of the new Whatcom Normal School that eventually became Western Washington University. He passed away at the age of 78 and is buried in Bayview Cemetery. J.H. Bladel came to Fairhaven in 1890 and eventually invested in the Blue Canyon Coal Mining Company. Bladel quickly realized the need to find an efficient way to transport the coal to Bellingham Bay and partnered with Donovan to form the Bellingham Bay and Eastern Railroad Company. Eventually, both men partnered with P. Larson to form the Bladel-Donovan-Larson Timber Empire. Larson provided financing, Bladel managed the business, and Donovan oversaw operational logistics and building. Bladel was a staunch supporter of the city, and in 1946, he and his wife Mina donated 12.5 acres of land at the northwest corner of Lake Whatcom to the city to create the Bladel-Donovan Park. He died at the age of 93 and is buried in Seattle. P. Larson was born in Denmark and came to the United States in 1871 at the age of 22. He started his career in the railroad industry, but made his fortune in mining lead, silver, and zinc. His need of timber for his mine sparked his interest in logging, and in 1898 he partnered with Bladel and Donovan to form the Lake Whatcom Lumber Company. Over the years, Larson spent large amounts of money buying forested lands around the lake and elsewhere, in addition to continuing his investment in Bellingham Bay and British Columbia Railroad. He died in 1907 at the young age of 58 and has amassed a fortune with an assessed value of $10 to $25 million. In accordance with his wishes, he was buried in Helena, Montana. These men and the hundreds of people they employed in the late 1800s and early 1900s for coal mining, timber harvesting and milling, railroad construction, road building, and shipping in the watershed left a legacy that there is still visible today. Moreover, the growth and character of the current city of Bellingham and Whatcom County were also directly influenced by their efforts. Concurrent with harvesting the bountiful natural resources in the watershed, company towns and settlements were being established around the lake, initially to support the employees and their families. The Donation Land Claim Act of 1850, however, spurred an influx of settlers seeking to establish homesteads in the area. A population boom ensued, resulting in not only the construction of homes and rooming houses, but also of churches, schools, and parks. Green highlights the towns of Silver Beach and Geneva, as well as the smaller settlements of Blue Canyon and Park. His detailed descriptions provide insights into life there and in the late 1800s and early 1900s. This section of the book is a fascinating read because he also includes historical maps of their locations, nearby railway and trolley lines, roads, and the wharfs used for shipping and unloading ore, raw timber, and finished wood onto rail cars for transport to Bellingham Bay. Old photographs are also included that capture many of the primary business and social activities taking place in each of them, as well as buildings of note such as churches, schools, parks, the Silver Beach Hotel, and the White City Amusement Park. Silver Beach is described in greatest detail. Located at the north end of Lake Whatcom, it was not only the most accessible coming from Bellingham, but was also a focal area for transporting ore, raw timber, and milled lumber from Lake Whatcom to Bellingham. It was therefore not only a company town with several sawmills and shingle production operations located nearby, but also a shipping center and railroad hub. Company employees, settlers, and tourists flocked to an area and stimulated further growth. The result was not only residential and rooming houses, but also amenities like the Silver Beach Hotel and the White City Amusement Park. The amusement park included ball fields, a Ferris wheel, merry-go-round, dance pavilion, and roller coaster, as well as hosted games and competitions on Sundays. During the summer months, the park attracted hundreds of city and county residents, as well as thousands of tourists. The town of Geneva was primarily a logging and mining site with lumber and shingle mills in operation. Eventually, its population outnumbered that of Silver Beach and was envisioned by the Jenkins as a resort destination, offering parks, picnic opportunities, and entertainment. Blue Canyon was exclusively a company town with coal mining at its only source of income. When the coal mine closed, the employees and their families moved away and moved to nearby park. Interestingly, Green does include the resort community of Sudden Valley in his descriptions, though its development did not begin until 1969. It is still in high demand for home seekers and offers numerous amenities to its homeowners, including a golf course, swimming pool, community center, playgrounds, a marina, and parks. According to Green, it is one of the largest cooperative homeowners associations in Washington state. As mining and logging activities declined or disappeared throughout the watershed, smaller settlements like Park were abandoned as populations shifted or disappeared. Moreover, as the population growth in Bellingham increased, it expanded into the Lake Whatcom watershed, with those areas that were more fully developed and offered more amenities to its residents growing rapidly. Very few of the early towns and settlements initially established in the watershed remain today and exist only as subdivisions of Bellingham or the county. Green writes extensively about other activities in the watershed, enumerating the various railroad companies, timber and lumber companies, mills and coal mines in operation in the watershed, boats that transported coal, wood, and passengers on the lake, parks that were created, and other recreational activities like hunting and fishing. At times, the magnitude of detail is overwhelming to read in one sitting, but does give the reader an intimate view of life in the watershed during that time frame. And I will say that I myself am almost through the book now, and it is very, very detailed for the area. But I find it absolutely fascinating just to think how different things were back then and just how it's grown over all the years. So highly, highly recommend if you want deeper history into the lake, check out Lake Whatcom, A History, and that is by H. Leon Green. Alrighty, so even though Lake Whatcom is not famous for any ghostly activity, I would still call it a highly energetic area. To me, it's almost as if the land has all sorts of personalities to the different regions around the lake. So to investigate it, I checked out multiple different areas. I went to the Hertz Trail in Lake Whatcom Park on the north side of the lake. Here, where I live on Squalicum Mountain and the trails that lead down to the water. I also went to Bloedel Donovan Park and lastly to the south side of the lake at Lookout Mountain. For the most part, as expected, most places gave pretty much the same results. I did not get any EVPs at any location. The ghost box was rather quiet. Sometimes it seemed like I was getting close to getting responses of things coming through, but nothing really solid ever ended up manifesting through there. But of course, the ovulus continues to provide some interesting results. As mentioned in the previous episodes, I have been using its popular dictionary feature as well as the geoscope, which shows movement and vibration. Two of the more interesting sessions were at Bloedel Donovan Park and Lookout Mountain. So while I was at Bloedel Donovan, I had friends Simon and Katie join me for the investigation. We started off with the ovulus in dictionary mode. It started giving us its usual gibberish and words, nothing that we could really pin down any specific meaning to. If there was a theme to it, it really seemed to respond to a possible drowning of an elderly woman in cold water, and whenever we referenced this potential person, the device seemed to perk up in response. During a slow moment, I took my phone out and took a picture of all the homes around the lake with all of their holiday lights on. Right as I finished, the ovulus spit out the words, picture happen while pretty seek. And that pretty much describes exactly what I was doing, seeking pretty in the lights around me. It definitely made us question whether or not someone was hanging around. When we use the device in geoscope mode, we put it on a flat rock. We laid the device down flat on a flat rock. And it was nice because we had to really strike the rock in order for the device to pick up those vibrations. So if hits were coming through, we knew that you had to have a pretty big vibration to set it off. And we were definitely standing very still. When we started to ask the potential entity questions, it seemed like we were talking to former residents of the area or people who love the area very much in its recent colonized history. And this is significant because I got a completely opposite vibe when I went to Lookout Mountain on the Sudden Valley side of the lake, which is the south side. And what was interesting at Bladel Donovan, even though we did not get many intelligent responses or anything that really seemed to directly relate to what was going on, it very much did seem like we had someone that was responding directly to us. Anytime that we would acknowledge the device, it seemed to give us something back in response, which really did imply that there was someone actively trying to respond to us. So I think that was pretty cool. And when I went up to Lookout Mountain, I did not end up hiking a lot of the mountain. I just went up to the main waterfall, as that was where my biggest curiosity for activity was. I'm always curious to check out spaces with running water and waterfalls, just because they can have such a greater and more vibrant energy than other parts of the forest. I didn't spend a lot of time there, unfortunately, as I went on a busy afternoon. The waterfall viewpoint is not very large, so it's very easy to overstay as hikers come and go from that area. And so because of this, I did not stay very long. So I tried for EVPs and used the Ovilus. So of course, dictionary mode did not provide anything very insightful. So I of course tried the geoscope next. And like at the lake, I set it on a solid rock that also doubled as a bench for hikers. Immediately with the geoscope, I started to get intelligent spikes in response. So compared to the north end of the lake, this immediately felt like native energies to me and even responded that it was. And so while I didn't get any voice EVPs, I still had something interesting happen on the recorder. This weird kind of staticky noise came through for the very first time ever on this device. Now, I have been using this device for at least the last 3 years and have taken it on many, many investigations and have never had any sort of interference sound like this come through. And what I think is even more interesting is that it happened outside with no one around me. And so this was the absolute last place I would have expected any sort of static to be recorded. So I do have that clip that I'm going to share with you. So here we go right now.
Okay, so if there's someone native here, okay. Okay, I will take that as a yes. Give me a big...
So what you hear in that clip is me talking out with the Ovilus that was in geoscope mode at that time, and you're listening for those kind of almost kind of like sharp static noises, but to me it almost sounds like someone's kind of hitting the recorder in a way or tapping it very loudly, as that is a sound that you might get if you do start tapping the device itself. So Very interesting that I got that outside. Very interesting that I got that with no one around. And also very interesting that I got that when I was asking specifically about native energies that were around. So was that a direct manifestation of me asking for something to happen? That I do not know, but it was very coincidental to what I was talking about and what was going on. So I definitely will be going back there for more. I stopped by before I recorded this episode. Again, it was a very busy day, and so I was only there for a few minutes and didn't catch anything, but I clearly need to go on a day when it is not so busy and spend a good chunk of time up there. And I'll even probably have to go to the Upper Falls part as well, where you can go and hang out by the creek, as I imagine that will be even more solitary up there. So another visit is definitely going to happen. But here is that clip one more time before I move on.
Okay, so if there's someone native here. Okay. Okay, I will take that as a yes. Give me a big...
Well, I did not find any concrete evidence of anything ghostly around the lake at this time. I have had enough hits that keep me intrigued, and I look forward to checking it out more. But before I wrap up this area, I do want to say it's not just ghostly energy that has been experienced. I have had a former Boo member tell me that he found Sasquatch footprints out in the field near the parking of the Y Road trails on the north side of the lake. I believe that area is wild enough that it could be a possibility to have such a creature out there. And when it comes to Bigfeet, some people believe they migrate up and down the West Coast. So whether we have any permanent populations, that is very hard to say. But the only location around Bellingham where I have heard about consistent and regular Bigfoot sightings is out on the Lummi Reservation. When I worked in cannabis, I worked nearby the reservation, and our guests would love to share their stories with me, knowing that I was very into that. But personally, I don't know if I'm ready for a Bigfoot encounter myself. For some reason, ghosts feel a lot safer to me. But that is not all. We also have many reports in the skies from people looking up. And so one final story before I go. I consider this to be one of my most interesting sightings I've had since living here on Squalicum Mountain. Just to point out, I have heard lots of UFO, UAP sightings east of the lake, but none associated directly with the lake itself. There's a growing belief that many UFOs are based in bodies of water, as it's a convenient place to hide. So whether or not that is true, I cannot say, but of course, I find it very interesting to think about. And I'd love to believe that Lake Whatcom is an equal hiding space, but I personally have not heard of any stories of lights or any sort of phenomena coming in or out of the water. But with that being said, my event happened anywhere from about 3 to 5 years ago. For a while, my good friend and neighbor Christian and I would track the planets up in the night sky. And one summer, Saturn and Jupiter could often be seen close together around twilight. We had just gone for a walk one nice evening, and as we were coming down our street, we noticed the planets up in the sky. Saturn was already up and shining bright, and then we had another bright star nearby which appeared to be Jupiter. However, something didn't feel quite right to me about it. It felt too early for Jupiter to be up. But there it was in the night sky, so I thought it must be me who is wrong, and I moved on with our conversation and gave it no more thought. We probably talked for another 15 to 20 minutes at the end of our driveways and finally called it a night. And so as I was walking down my driveway, just casually looking up, all of a sudden, the star that I thought was Jupiter dropped down out of the sky in an arc to the ground. It took about only 1 to 2 seconds for it to swoop out of sight. I immediately froze, not sure of what to think, and in my confusion, trying to figure out what I just witnessed, I then saw real Jupiter starting to rise in the tree line exactly where it should have been. And so, to this day, I have no idea what that fake Jupiter was. I am very certain the light that we saw was not a plane, it did not move, and we thought that it was just a planet. But it did not waver at all when it was stationary in the sky, and it stayed stationary for at least a good 20 minutes or more from that first time that we noticed it till when it dropped out of the sky. So it's also definitely not the only weird light in the sky that I have seen in my time living here. I never find any of this phenomena to be scary or frightening. Weird, yes, but definitely not scary. Some people say these things have intention to communicate when we witness them, like they are a special message for the viewer. So whether that is true or not, I cannot say, but maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe it's us just trying to find meaning in a phenomena that we don't really understand. But just in case that is true, don't forget to look up and say hi, just because you never know who could be watching or even listening to you. So, gotta say hi up above as well. Alrighty, my friends. And with that, we will conclude today's episode. Next week is already the season finale. I cannot believe that we are there. And it is going to be about when I ventured out to Port Townsend to investigate the infamous Manresa Castle. I am still in my evidence review as I collected hours and hours of material. I can say that I have had some interesting things on video so far, but still am going through the audio right now. So all video findings will be posted on my YouTube channel. Just search Bellingham Ghost Tours to find it. And as always, thank you so much for being open and being here. So until next time, stay spooky, my friends.